The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine, and if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready?
You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
Break it down. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at my name Jong, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show, 713-780-ESPN is your number. Miss the first hour? Guess we weren't sportsy enough.
Not enough.
Texter says, this is the last caller's grandkids. We love the Blitz and we don't really like our grandpa. Oh, man. I don't even know where to go now.
I don't know. Do you want to even take any of these calls, John? There's like, I think almost all our lines are full with people who want to call in.
Yeah.
What do you think, John, as the producer? Move on?
Yeah.
Let me say this, though.
We got plenty.
I want to make a point about something. I went out to get some water after that segment, and the guy who's not going to listen anymore, he called back. Like, he wanted to talk again. If you don't, I mean, move on with your life. That's what you told me you were going to do. I'll move on with mine. You can move on as a guy who doesn't listen to this show anymore. And I'll move on as a guy who doesn't have you as a listener anymore. And I think we'll both be okay in life. We'll survive this somehow.
Not my first breakup.
No. Trust me.
I've had 2.5 divorces. So, we'll just add this one on there. Still 2-1 U.S., 13 minutes left. I'm getting nervous.
Hey, Ryan.
Go ahead. You want to do some calls?
Yeah, we'll take a couple.
All right.
Hey, Ryan.
First time caller.
Welcome to the show, sir.
I just want to say I've been a big fan of the show for a long time. Where do you guys talk sports or non-sportsy? I don't care. You are the best show on ESPN, and I look forward to listening to you all the time. Thanks,
man.
Have a good day.
And by the way, when that guy was like, he's we're talking about stuff that he can talk to his grandkids about, how about you're welcome? For connecting you to your grandchildren, sir, instead of like being a weirdo that just wants to talk about shot blocking stats. Like, imagine a grandpa coming up to his grandson and being like, "Hey, what do you think about the how the Texans offensive line is going to hold up against the Colts?" It's like, dude, I'd be like, "Grandpa, what are we doing here? Is this connecting? Are you trying to get on my level, Grandpa?" No, we're trying to help you.
832. Does a great job of saying of pulling sports into this. He says, "I thought the KD out of bounds call was going to be the worst call of the week." Well played, sir.
That was pretty bad.
That
he was
awful.
He took like 3 steps out of bounds, then dove inbounds, while he was still out of bounds and saved the ball.
Yeah, that was very odd.
Yeah, that was bad. And DJ, by the way, I want to personally apologize to our poor intern for having to deal with this.
Yeah, that shouldn't be the case.
And yeah, she seems again, like a nice young lady.
And then the guy calls back and, like, I told her, just tell him, listen, we only take one call per person per day, which is actually true.
Yeah.
But I don't want this whole show to turn into me, you know, arguing with some guy who doesn't like our show.
You know what? I have a plan here. Just a little experiment. You take a call and talk to one of these guys, and then after that, I'm going to drop a sports thing in.
Okay.
And then we'll take another call, and that way we get sports mixed in. How's that?
Hey, DJ.
Sports, well, maybe not so much sports. First of all, man, you know haters are going to hate. People are going to troll. I don't understand how you call it to a show that you know what they do, but you claim you're such of a big listener to ESPN Radio. You know what the Blitz does, so why are you complaining? Stop being the old get off my lawn dude. If you don't like it, just turn it, bro. Everybody loves the Blitz. If you don't love the Blitz, you're crazy. It's a reason why the Blitz is number one. If you don't like your radio station, turn the channel, bro. Don't complain. Don't be that old guy. Don't do that, bro.
I do disagree with one thing DJ just said. Not everybody likes the Blitz, and that's okay. It's not for everybody. And honestly, like, and I'm gonna say this in the nicest way possible, because I know there are some people who do listen to the show that have grandkids, but our demographic isn't grandpa. So the fact that you said you're talking to your grandkids about stuff, like, we're not aiming our show at you. If you're a grandpa and you like our show, cool. But that's not like when Fred and I discuss, like, what can we do differently on the show? How can we get better? We don't say, you know what? We really need to connect to grandpas. Like, that's never been a conversation we had. So, I mean, our show's not for everyone. And if it's not for you, that's fine. It's fine. Like, imagine me calling into HBO because I'm like, oh, I watched Game of Thrones. It was so good. And then Boardwalk Empire comes on. And I'm like, God, this show sucks. And they're like, HBO, you suck. I watch you all day. And then Boardwalk Empire comes on. That show's not even nearly as good as Game of Thrones. Okay, sir. Why don't you change the channel when Boardwalk Empire comes on?
Well,
that's what I did.
Yeah, well, it's like when I quit watching Walking Dead, I didn't tweet at him about, oh, your show sucks now. Yeah, you're going to go cry in your millions of viewers. So, but hey, you want to hear about the Colts?
Yes.
Week 7 through 17, they've gone 9-1. That's best in the NFL.
Okay.
396.4 yards per game. That's fourth in the NFL. 35 total touchdowns. That's tied for fourth in the NFL. 28.1 points per game. That's fifth in the NFL. So during this 9-1 streak, that's how good this team has been. And all this from our buddy Jake, who's doing the SB Nation stuff. He sent that to me today. So I've got all kinds of little stats. So take another call, and then we'll do that again.
Okay. Let's see. Richard?
Oh, hey.
I let him jump the line. That's okay. What's up, Richard?
What's up, man? Hey, I just wanted to comment on this recent segment about this dude. I listen, you know, damn near every day, and I'm driving all the time. And sometimes I don't like what you guys say, too. But you know what? I change the station, and y'all take a break, and then I come back. And if y'all are talking about something that I want to listen to, I keep it on that station. Oh. I mean, it's really that simple.
It's weird. You're like a well-adjusted human. That's odd. Like, imagine, you know, you go to a restaurant 5-6 times, and you have the steak, and you have the chicken, you have the pork chop, and it's all delicious. And then, like, the fourth or fifth time you go, you have fish, and the fish isn't very good. Like, do you just never go there again?
Unless I get food poisoning.
Or you just go back and, like, oh, I'll just order the stuff that I like here. I mean, I'm not trying. It's not rocket science.
Well, and one thing I would point out is that there is a bit of, I mean, there is an angle to what we do. I mean, we try to do the show like a podcast, so we're not going to hit the same thing over and over for the most part. So if you don't like what you're hearing one segment, you can tune in later in the segment. We're probably on something different.
But we're not professionals. We've never talked about things like this before. Well, we don't come in here with a game plan.
The Colts allowed only 18 sacks this season. That's the fewest in the NFL, but it's the fewest time Luck has been sacked in his career in a full season. He was the only, and that was the only team in the league this year to allow fewer than 20 sacks.
Colts went from having one of the worst offensive lines to one of the best basically overnight. And I mentioned this on the last show. when most of those sacks occurred was the first six games.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have their left tackle, and their best offensive lineman was playing his first six games ever. He's a rookie, and that Colts offensive line, you talk about a quick turnaround. That kind of gives you hope for the Texans that they could do something like that.
Yeah, it does.
Although the Colts had the sixth pick in the draft, helps. But, I mean, and everyone laughed at the Colts for taking that dude.
I don't think that's true.
A lot of national guys were guard?
I don't know. I didn't hear a lot of – most of the ones I saw gave him an A for that pick. So,
all right, now back to let's go – who's been on the longest? Johnny, I hope this is Johnny yes. Football. Sports, Johnny.
Hey, how y'all doing, guys? Long time listeners, listening to the ESPN station since 2009.
Right on,
I'm 28 man. Years old. Love the radio. Me and my brother, the long summer, we will listen to y'all stations. And everything y'all talk about, me and my brother will always debate the discussions y'all talk about. It could be anything y'all can be talking about. We love the topics y'all always bring up. That old man was just mad because he's stuck on traffic and he wants to listen to what's going on this weekend. Everybody knows. If you want to talk about sports or listen to sports, get on the ESPN app, download the app or something.
All right. Thanks for the call. Hey, Fred, do you know who gave up the most sacks this year in the NFL?
I do.
Who?
Deshaun Watson was sacked 62 times. The first quarterback to be sacked 60-plus times in a season since?
2014?
No. John Kitna in 2006 was sacked 63 times.
Oh, well, I guess.
All I have to do is rally around John Kitna. Long-time Blitzers will remember that.
I think the Raiders gave up like 72 sacks or something in 2014. Just one, but multiple
we're talking about one quarterback, yeah.
Yeah.
And, but here's another key stat for you since we're diving into this. Houston 9-1 this season in games when they run the ball 30 or more times. And they were one of eight teams to rush for 2,000-plus yards. Six of those teams made the postseason. And that you may find that hard to believe the way they've run the ball the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
But that's there's some stats for you. See, I'm throwing stats out there.
Wait,
now.
Did Lamar Miller hit 1,000 yards? Because Deshaun's hit 15 of 500, right?
I think he came up just short.
Yeah, I don't think he got there.
They got to 2,000 yards with Alfred Blue?
That's according to the stats.
Alfred Blue and Lamar Miller. Oh, my.
It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Hey, Rodney. You mind if I call you Rod?
Sports gentleman, man. Who knew Jerome Solomon could get so angry, right? Man, I only listen to the show for y'all rants and when y'all go off on Texas and callers like, man. Makes my day. Change nothing, fellas. Listen to you all the time, and I never change the channel.
Thank you, Rod.
I have the stats pulled up. Lamar Miller, 973 yards. Deshaun Watson, 551 yards. And Alfred Blue, 499 yards.
Yeah, I looked those up, too. You also had Deontay Foreman, -1.
Oh, that hurts.
DeAndre Carter, 7.
Okay.
Brandon Whedon, -1. He must have taken a knee at the end of a game.
How dare he?
Brandon Whedon and Dante Foreman, that's like probably the only thing they have in common.
And DeAndre Hopkins, -7. One carry for -7 yards.
Yeah, he's not the kind of receiver that you want to be running. Yeah, those,
overrated.
Those jet sweeps.
Yeah.
How good can he be?
See, about that, I went through and got you some stats.
Thank you. You know what I'm going to tell you about, Fred? Carbach. You know why?
That's not sports.
No, it's not sports. Because you know what dudes like besides sports?
Women?
Yeah. You know what else they like? Beer. Obviously. And if you haven't made it out to Carbach, I don't know what to tell you. They've got a ton of great beer on the wall there. Stuff that you can't even get in stores. There's a lot of stuff that you can get there only there, exclusive to the restaurant. If you haven't made it out to see that restaurant yet, you got to check it out. It's a brewery and dining experience unlike anywhere else. They've got a dynamic, delicious menu. I'm not talking bar food. This food just happens to pair really freaking well with their beer. The Korean fried chicken, one of my favorites. The crab cakes, one of my favorites. I love the fish and chips. I love the steak tacos. They just do so much stuff the right way. You got to check them out. Open daily, 11 to 9 for lunch and dinner. Also serving brunch Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 2. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for all the new beers coming out. I know they've got the Daybreaker or Daymaker out right now, which is their Brute IPA, which is really good. And you can get that chocolate stout available now. You'll see it in your stores in the orange box. Really good, really chocolate forward if you're into that. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today, or just tell your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. So I was like, why are you giving that guy so much run? That's what he wants. Because
he won. Yeah. He beat us.
Yeah. Sometimes I think it's funny when A.J. just starts ranting. And I like to get out of the way.
So apparently Brandy called and said, we're sexist pigs, and she doesn't like our show.
Okay. That's all right, too. What was sexist about that?
No, I think just in general, our show's a sex. You guys are sexist.
Is she upset because I said Jean Grey's too powerful for a superhero?
Maybe.
I stand by that, by the way. Okay. That chick in the Aqua... What's her name? The Aquaman?
Mira?
Yeah. She's pretty powerful, too.
Yeah, but not Jean Grey level.
No. What I was thinking... It's another Aquaman spoiler alert. You know how she was like sucking water out of people?
Yeah.
How come when those bad guys showed up wearing the water masks, she didn't just suck all the water out of their mask and make them die?
Good point.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah,
I guess she
doesn't really kill people. Although she did in that winery, though.
Yeah, she killed everybody.
Yeah, she went a little ham.
I didn't know she had power over wine.
Well, there's just... water in wine.
Oh. I thought that was made of grapes.
I thought Jesus did that. I'm confused.
Are you saying Aquaman's Jesus?
He's got a beard.
He does walk on water.
Okay.
I don't think I'm sexist.
Are you just now saying AJ's sexist?
No. Yeah, are you accusing me?
No. Has anybody tried to hire more women around here than me? Give people opportunities in the sports business? Just saying. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I got more stats. I can just do stats the rest of the show now, just for you guys, if you want.
Okay.
Actually, these are pretty interesting.
Is that what they do on the Stephen A. Smith show?
I don't know. No, I think they just yell about stuff. James Harden is the MVP. I think that's how they do it. That's like Patrick Creighton. So you know what? That guy should listen to Patrick Creighton when he gets back.
You want to go through the NFL games? We normally do that at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, we can do that.
And I know we'll talk to RJ at 6.
Yeah, we'll have plenty of sports the rest of the show. Still 2-1 U.S., 3:35 to play. All right, well, let's talk with Texans Colts. And we have talked about this a lot this week, and I'm sorry if you missed it. And I think the most important thing for the Texans is they've got to find a way to run the ball against the Colts. They haven't done it well for 3 weeks. The Colts defense has been really good against the run. And I think it may be Deshaun Watson that does the running. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah, what I've seen from the Colts is that the way to beat the Colts is kind of the same way to beat the Texans. It's with down-the-field passing. And the difference, the obvious difference, if you listen to the last segment, is ability to give those quarterbacks time to get down the field. And that's why T.Y. Hilton is such a nightmare this year for the Texans, is because normally... the Texans are getting enough pressure on a quarterback that T.Y. Hilton's not, a guy like T.Y. Hilton's not able to get down the field and make a big play. But the Colts offensive line has been holding up so well, particularly against these Texans teams. And on the reverse, the Colts, 12 of those 60-something sacks are by the Colts on the Texans.
Yeah.
They have not done a good job protecting Deshaun Watson when they played the Colts. So, I understand you're saying running the ball is important. I think protecting Deshaun and letting him work downfield is even more important.
You know how you do that, though? You run the ball effectively.
Yeah.
And then they have to account for it, and then you can take your shots.
It's so hard to imagine them doing that with the way they've run the last few weeks. And
unless they use Watson like they did against the Jags last week. That ought to open up the running game a little bit. The other key, I think, is, and somebody asked yesterday, why not just blitz Andrew Luck every down? Well, that's fine and dandy, except he does get rid of the ball quickly, and if you do that, it's going to be hard to double-team T.Y. Hilton, and they're going to have big plays. So,
or Eric Ebron.
Yeah.
And I think Dontrell Inman being back is a big deal for them, because that's another legit threat that the Colts have been missing for a couple weeks, and now all of a sudden he's back, and they're already having trouble covering the guys that are out there. I mean, the more options Andrew Luck has, the better. I feel when you look at statistics and stuff on paper, this is a close game. But when you've watched these teams match up, it just feels like the Colts have a lot more ways to win this game than the Texans do.
I wouldn't disagree with that, but I also feel like I feel like the first game, the Colts were the better team and they lost. I feel like the second game, the Texans, the Colts were clearly the better team. Texans played a terrible game and still came within three. I think we can see more out of the Texans than what we're seeing or what we saw in that game. And I think the other really big difference for me is they just if they need to be able to run the ball, and they've got to find a way to scheme so that T.Y. Hilton is not killing them. And if they can do that, I think they score enough points, and I think they win. Seahawks, Cowboys. I think the whole key here for the Cowboys, I think the Cowboys are better at every position. We've talked about this during the week. Every position except for head coach and quarterback, which happen to be the best two, the most important two. I think Zeke Elliott needs to have a big game. They need to feed him the ball. The Ezekiel Elliott will be the reason the Cowboys win if they do, in my opinion. It will not be Dak Prescott.
Well, I mentioned this when I was on with Barry. So that the Cowboys-Seahawks game early in the season was a 20... What was the final of that game? It was like 24-14, something like that. 27-14 was the final. And I think it was 20 to 7 going into the fourth quarter. And Dak Prescott had 55 yards of passing going into the fourth quarter in that game. He's got to be better. Zeke Elliott ran well against the Seahawks in that game. 24-13 was the final. So it was 17-6 going into the fourth quarter. But Zeke Elliott, 16 carries, 127 yards. If you can get that, you'll take that all day. The problem was the Cowboys didn't stop the run either, and it was a 100-yard day for Chris Carson. He had a touchdown on the ground. Russell Wilson had two touchdowns. And I mean, they're not like – there was one Tyler Lockett deep ball. The others was just, you know, dink and dunk, get up to the line, throw touchdowns. But, I think the Seahawks need to do a better – or the Cowboys need to do a better job stopping the run and forcing Russell Wilson to be a pocket passer, and then hope that – Tyler Lockett, much like T.Y. Hilton, doesn't get out of your coverage and make some big play happen, which he did in that first 52-yard touchdown catch.
Here's one thing that the Cowboys didn't have was Amari Cooper. This is also from Jake's preview here. Before Cooper, 3-4 record. After 7-2, 62.1 completion percentage before, 71.3 after. 202 passing yards a game before, 274 after.
Yeah.
Yards per attempt, 6.9 and 7.7. And the touchdown to interception ratio, 8-4. After Cooper got there, 14-4. So, another credit, Jake, for another nice little stat.
Leading receiver for the Cowboys in that game, Jeff Swaim. 5 catches, 47 yards. Something tells me he'll be less of a part of the game plan this time around.
There's 1 second left in this game. Face-off coming in the U.S. zone. U.S. up 2-1. Oh, nope, it's outside the blue line. So I think...
Oh, it's over.
Should be. And there it is.
USA
will play for the gold medal against the winner of the next game, which is Finland and surprising Switzerland, who upset the number one seeded Swedish team. So...
Nice.
And U.S. already beat Finland once, so it looks good for a gold medal tomorrow. This was...
Well, they're Americans, so obviously they were going to win.
Well, that's what the Canadians
thought.
And
now the Russians are crying because they know that their families have just been murdered.
Hey, they get to play for a bronze medal, AJ. Don't hate on them. All right. I'm looking forward to both these games tomorrow, by the way. And we will have full coverage of the Texans on Sports Map, so make sure you check it out after the game, win or lose. Sunday games, which I'm having problems finding here. Chargers and Ravens.
This is a tough game for me because there's so much of me that wants to say, man, the Ravens got the best of them.
They really are crying, my God.
Yeah, I told you. Jeez. The Ravens got the best of them the first game in L.A., and the Chargers, I like to assume, are going to make some big adjustments. one of the things I was talking about with Barry was the Chargers, because they've got two great edge rushers and a great secondary, they're built to stop modern-day NFL offenses, and that's part of what's been so good for them. Their defense has been really underrated this season. But the Ravens don't play 2018 NFL football. They run over 60% of the time. It's a really, at this point, a gimmicky offense. And if you watch the first matchup, it doesn't look like the Chargers are built to stop it. You know, so I don't know if they're going to make some kind of major adjustment. My favorite play on this bet is the under. Yeah. I've talked before about the pace that the Chargers play at, which, I mean, they take forever to get the ball snapped. They're in no rush to do anything. And I think the Chargers, if they're going to win, have to run more than they did in the first game. 15 carries in the first game for Melvin Gordon. I think they're going to have to rely more heavily on him. And, of course, the Ravens are going to run. So I think it's going to be an easy under game. But if I had to take a side, right now I kind of think I prefer Baltimore, but it's at 3. So right. I'm not really...
The number's right where it should
be. When it was under 3, I kind of liked the Ravens. If it gets outside of 3, I might like the Chargers.
Yeah. Some more interesting numbers from Jake's notes here. Last three
games. Who is Jake?
Jake Asman, who does the SB Nation.
Okay.
Yeah, he put this thing together.
Just kidding. I knew that, obviously.
He's really good. He's up right. You know, you see him around here all the time.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah. Phillip Rivers' last three games, 3 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. He had 6 the first 13 to begin with. So, did not play well the last 3 games of the season for the Chargers. That's it. I was just adding that.
Thank you.
We still have 1 game left. Eagles, Bears, another one we've talked about a lot. I just think that I think the Bears are the better team, but maybe there is something to this Nick Foles thing.
Yeah.
He played amazing against the Texans. He played well enough last week. They didn't have to do much to beat Washington. But there's something to be said for a team that has to win out late to make the playoffs, that they've already been playing playoff games technically for the last couple weeks. So I'm going to keep an eye on this number, but I might lean Philly to cover it. 6.5 now. If I can get it to 7, I'll take Eagle.
Okay.
So
I guess my question would be, how healthy do you think Nick Foles is? Because Nick Foles got knocked out of the game last week, didn't return, and Nate Sudfeld had to finish that game. And, I mean, granted, they were just being taking some precautions because it was, you know, they were up big, I think 17-0 at the time. But he gets knocked out of that game. If he's not 100%, do you want to play the Bears when you're not 100%?
No, but I think he'll be fine. I don't know that they'd trot him out there if he wasn't, but we'll see. Oh,
you don't think they trot him out there instead of Nate Sudfeld against the best defense in the league?
Yeah, I mean, if he's 60 or 70%, no, I don't know if they would.
I think
they may try him for, you know, half a quarter or something and see. But
I mean, that's just such a dangerous defense. I'm interested to see if the Eagles will be able to run the ball at all, and I'm not sure that they can against that Bears team. They're so good against the run, and they get good pressure on the quarterback. Obviously, they've got Khalil Mack. They're going to get good pressure on the quarterback. And they're number one in the league in takeaways. They just have a lot of ways to beat you on defense. The one thing I will say is they're inconsistent offensively. You never know what you're going to get from Trubisky, from Jordan Howard, from Tariq Cohen, Allen Robinson, any of those guys. But I feel like, it's for me, it's Chicago or pass.
I think Zach Ertz has a big day for Philly, and that's what keeps him in the game. But that's,
well, we've talked about this before. Nick Foles doesn't use Zach Ertz as much as he should.
He sure did against the Texans.
Yeah, that was the only time, though. And like last week, he didn't use him at all. I think Zach Ertz had like 1 or 2 catches last week.
I think he'll be better this week, and I think they're going to need him because I don't think they can run the football. So they're going to have to throw it. All right, there you go. There's some sports for you. We've done almost the full 30 minutes of sports.
Exhausted.
Yeah. And you know what? The only thing better than sports is poker. And the only thing better than playing poker is playing poker at Lions Poker Palace. And how about this weekend, guys? They're going to have all the games on for you. So if you want to go and watch any of these games and play poker, $50,000 guaranteed in 2 tournaments tomorrow. $50,000 in 2 tournaments tomorrow. $25,000 guaranteed, no limit hold'em. registration until 3:10, but it starts at 1. And then Pot Limit Omaha at 6:30, 25K. Registration good till 8:40.
That's one of them. Like, Pot Limit Omaha has become very popular again, right?
Oh yeah, everybody's playing it. I'm still sticking with Hold'em.
I am too. I'm slow to change, Fred.
Yeah, and Sunday, how about this? A $22,000 tournament. So $50,000 on Saturday. You got,
let's get this dough,
and then a $15,000 one at 1 o'clock, and $7,000 on Sunday at 5:30. So $22,000 guaranteed on Sunday, $50,000 guaranteed on Saturday. And I'm telling you, man, George and Najib run a first-class room.
And I know what you're thinking. Oh, I don't want to go on the weekend because the NFL playoffs on. They've got you covered there. They'll have the games on. You won't miss a second of the NFL action. They've got fantastic food. And, I mean, it's just, it's BYOB. So you bring your own booze in there, and that's always a nice thing. Save you some dough that way. Really a Vegas-style atmosphere. Really great, clean room. And you're going to want to be there. Check them out on Facebook for all the details about their tournaments and things like that. And then stop in and see them for yourself. 6134 Richmond Avenue in Houston. That's Lions Poker Palace.
Who got a couple tips to save ya. Just be sure to count it as my only favor. Thank me later. Every night I stayed up, saved your prayer. You made me greater. Let's save a chasing green for collard greens and baked potatoes on the table. Pray for potatoes.
I hear that.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 701 says, thanks for the game updates, Fred. Next question, are you going to plan your Saskatchewan trip next year around the Jets Flames outdoor game in Regina? There's no way I'd be able to get up there in October. It'd be kind of cool, but I guarantee that's going to be the hardest ticket to get anywhere. They're doing the Heritage Classic in Regina. It's going to be Jets Flames. And that place only seats about, I want to say, 40,000.
That only?
Well, for an outdoor hockey game, that's not a lot.
Okay.
So, and U.S. will play tomorrow night at 7, so you can watch the Texans. And then if you want to flip over and watch some hockey in between Cowboys, they'll probably be playing Finland, would be my guess, whose coach looks like just like Jeff Fahey, the actor. So.
There you go.
Useless sports information, just so we can be sportsy. 713-780-3776. So where do you want to go from here? We've been non-sportsy, sportsy. I don't know. I got a gym of the day that's coming up that is non-sports. So there's that.
Yeah, I guess we were pretty non-sportsy in the first hour. Let's take a call. How about that?
Okay, why don't we do that?
We'll talk to Mark. Hey, Mark. Sports.
Hey, sports guys. How you doing?
Doing all right.
Question for you. Ravens, San Diego. The fact that Lamar Jackson only has 7 NFL starts, does the Ravens' offense be more rushing-oriented, favor that? And also the fact that Lamar Jackson has less starts than Phillip Rivers has 8 kids. Get your thoughts. I'll hang up. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, but you know what? He had less starts than that when they played the Chargers the first time.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Ravens dominated that game. So I don't know that – I mean – obviously, I trust Phillip Rivers more than I trust Lamar Jackson. All I'm saying is the strength of the Ravens, it's a good matchup for them on the offensive side. And really, when you look at the strength of the Chargers' offense this year, it's been Phillip Rivers. That's the Ravens' strength on the defensive side. So I feel like from a matchup standpoint, the Ravens are they're set up to win. But all year long, I've thought the Chargers are a better team than the Ravens. So it's hard for me to, like, from a pure power ranking standpoint, it's hard to say, yeah, I think the Ravens are better than the Chargers. I just think that the Chargers drew their worst possible matchup. If this were Chargers-Steelers, I think the Chargers would eat the Steelers. I don't think it would even be close, especially the way Steelers finished out the season. But I don't know. This Ravens team, it's just a problematic matchup, I think, for the Chargers defensively.
And we keep saying somebody's going to figure out how to defend Lamar Jackson. Nobody's done it yet.
No.
So And the Chargers have already had one shot at it, so maybe they come up with a different scheme. But his running the ball opens up everything for them.
Well, I mean, it's turned Gus Edwards into a stud.
Yeah, because when you have to choose between Jack, if you're the defense, you probably want Edwards running the ball more than you do Jackson. And so when you have to choose between those two, and then it opens up the passing game for him. And yeah, he's not the most accurate guy, but he's accurate enough. And especially when receivers are getting more open because they're so concerned about the run. So yeah, I'm leaning Ravens to win this pretty heavily. So
I think Gus Edwards had like 6 yards a carry against the Chargers the first time out. And they basically, last week, when they were playing the Browns, obviously, it got tight a little late in the game, but when they were up, they were using a lot of Kenneth Dixon, and he had a lot of success too. So they've got guys who can run the ball, and I think that's going to be the biggest problem for the Chargers is stopping that run, especially runs to the outside.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. I'm looking forward to that game as much as I am any of the four. I mean, obviously, Texans-Colts is one we have to pay more attention to. But I'm really intrigued by that. And I think, kind of the way the Chargers stumbled in here down the stretch, I like the way the Ravens are playing. It's another team that really couldn't afford to lose, and much like the Eagles that had to play their way into it.
What I like about the matchup is, it depends on who you think is going to win the other AFC game, but as someone who believes the Colts are going to win, I'm looking at this as who's going to match up well with Kansas City. I think both these teams match up well against Kansas City. They can both give Kansas City problems. So I'm looking at this game in hopes of seeing someone push the top team. Like, I want to see those top teams pushed. I want to see Kansas City get pushed. I want to see New England get pushed. The Rams, the Saints. I want somebody to show up and really give those guys games. And I'm excited about this particular game because I think both teams would match up well against the Chiefs. I don't know that, I don't know how the Ravens would match up against the Patriots. I don't think the Chargers would do well going into Foxborough. But if things work out the way I think they are, and I guess we'll know. By the time this game happens, we'll know what happened in the Colts-Texans game. We'll know where the winner's headed. But if they're headed to Kansas City, I think both these teams could be problematic for the Chiefs.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I actually think, though, both those teams are going to get pushed because Kansas City's either going to get a Colts team that I think will push them or a Ravens or Chargers team that I think will push them. And then for the Patriots, I really think
Kansas City can't get the Colts.
That's right, because they're Colts are six.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
They would get them.
Yeah, if the Colts win, they would get them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
and if the Texans wins, they go to New England.
Right.
Okay.
Which I kind of like to see because I think one of these years are going to go up there and beat those guys.
I wonder if the Colts. I mean, the Colts can throw obviously on just about anybody. I wonder if the Colts would be able to run well enough to beat the Chiefs. Like, because I think your game plan has to be to run the football when you play the Chiefs. I don't know if the Colts can shift their mindset of what they are.
They've been a little better with Mac in there. They've run the ball a little bit better, and I think you can do that. But
by the way, this week I think Marlon Mack's going to be almost a zero factor. I think the running back to watch for the Colts is Nyheim Hines, because if you remember back to week one. The first time, I guess it was week four, the first time the Colts and Texans played their first matchup. I think he had something like 9 catches out of the backfield. And then the second matchup, they didn't really run the ball at all in that game. That was the Andrew Luck show.
Yeah,
Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton show.
Nyheim Hines had 9 catches for 63 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, you don't want that to happen.
He got targeted 11 times.
You don't want that to happen. And, The Texans are going to have a lot to worry about defensively. I think they're really good defensively, but if they're not getting a pass rush, I think they're going to be in trouble. And they haven't really proven that they can get a pass rush against this team yet.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.
You're listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. We'll be right back.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Make sure you check out SportsMap. Great website, sportsmap.com. And Culture Map, Innovation Map, Gifting Map. Check them all out. But there will be lots of good Texans coverage on Sports Map tomorrow after the game. We'll have Cody Stutes does Player of the Game. Jermaine does his Good, Bad, and Ugly. I do a column, and then we have a gamer from Brian O'Donnell. So we will have you covered on the Texans. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
We go to Australia, and Australian police had an emergency response after they heard screaming in a house.
Okay.
A neighbor was walking past the house, and they heard a man repeatedly yelling, "Why don't you die?" and a toddler screaming over and over, "Why don't you die?" and "Wah." Multiple police units responded with lights and sirens, and they basically walk in, and police spoke with all parties who advise that the man was screaming because he had been trying to kill a spider. Now, let's remember, this is Australia, so the spider could be...
It could be.
Like, it could be like as big as a pizza.
Yeah, he might be fighting it with a chainsaw.
But apparently he has a serious fear of spiders and was screaming. And, of course, the whole family was freaked out by the fact that he was trying to get the spider to die, and it wouldn't. The man apologized for the inconvenience to police, and there were no injuries cited except to the spider, and no further police involvement required.
Thank goodness.
The reports did not identify the man or the type of spider. I'd like to know, but little fun fact for you at the end. Australia has one of the world's highest population of spiders. Apparently there was a summer heat wave that
brought him out.
Yeah, yeah. So this poor guy, why don't you die? I think that about you guys all the time. Why don't you die? I'm just kidding. Let's see Zadok Jeweler's Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Hey, can I give a secondary Gem of the Day?
Sure.
The Gem of the Day. Necessary. It's the Gem of the Day.
The Zadok
Jeweler Gem of the Day.
It's been a while since any of us have been on a first date. But imagine going on a date with a woman you met on a dating site. And you feel like it didn't go that great.
I've had a lot of those.
So maybe you, rather than have the awkward, what's the move? Do you have the awkwardness of being like, you know what, this just isn't working out? Or do you just, you know, not call her?
I've done both. Like, if it went really badly, it's like, I'm not bothering. I think both of us know that was a disaster. And then I've also called and said, hey, you're a really nice person, but I don't think it's going to work. So I've done both. Don't know which one's right or wrong, but I feel like if it's just a complete disaster, there's no point.
Let's say it's a complete disaster, and then she sends you 159,000 text messages over the next 10 months.
Oh, my gosh.
159,000.
All right, well, first off, you blocked the number.
Yeah.
That's very easy to do, so that's a little bit on you.
Did you say 1,000?
159,000.
My, after 100, I would have been like, nope.
This is a woman from Phoenix. The arrest record listed the woman as, quote, showing signs of mental illness.
Yeah.
I would say so. Apparently, she met the, her name's Jacqueline Aides. She met the victim, a man from Paradise Valley, through Luxy, a dating site for millionaires. The two went on one date, but aides allegedly became infatuated and continued to pursue him. However, the man, who is said to be CEO of a skincare products company, was not interested in a relationship. He was looking for a one and done, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
The man called police when he discovered her outside his home in July 2017. After he called police, she allegedly started sending him threatening texts, including one that said, "I'd wear your fascia and the top of fur skull in your hands and feet. I'd make sushi out of your kidneys and chopsticks out of your hand bones." In another text, she said she wanted to wash herself in his blood. "Oh, what would I do with your blood? I'd want to bathe in it." The man called police again in April of 2018 after surveillance footage from his home showed her taking a bath in his tub while he was away on a trip. Paradise Valley police arrested her and discovered a large butcher knife in her vehicle. She was later charged with first-degree criminal trespassing of a residential structure. She was released from custody but failed to appear in court, shockingly. Then she showed up at his place of employment in May, said she was his wife, but was escorted from building by officers. She was arrested at her apartment complex on May 8th after failing to appear to multiple court hearings. During interrogation, she claimed she would never hurt the man, saying, "Something came over me when she was sending those texts." She says, "I don't believe those texts are normal. I don't think anything I say is normal. I understand now." She says she understands that the man did not want to be with her despite her thousands of texts. "It's okay if that's how he feels. Somebody else should love him. He has so much to love. He's so cute. I can't believe I scared him." Really? She's currently being held in jail with no bond. She's pleaded not guilty to charges of stalking and criminal trespassing. I'm going to go with she's not going to beat those charges. Her trial is slated to begin in February. And that's your secondary gym of the day.
Lauren,
the gym of the day. It's the gym of the day. The Panock Jeweler gym of the day.
Lauren the Aggie said, "I just tweeted that story earlier today. I feel like I should get some sort of partial credit for gym of the day." Okay, there you go. You get partial credit.
The one that I did or
yeah,
she did?
Yeah, the one you did.
Oh, well.
I think.
Did she tweet it at me?
She tweeted at me, so it's probably the spider story. Well, regardless, I did have, and this was kind of similar, and this was many years ago after divorce number one, and I went out with this girl from work on one date.
Did you make love?
No, we did not. She was really attractive, but about 5 minutes in, I realized that there was, let's just say, a significant difference in
weight.
No, she was very attractive.
Age.
Hygiene.
No, I don't know how.
A number of sex partners.
No.
Divorces.
No. I don't know a nice way to say it.
Just say it the main
STDs.
Way.
STDs.
No STDs. Just, I would just say she was.
Oh, she was just dumb.
Yeah, I guess that's a way to put it. She was not blessed with brilliance.
Okay.
And so.
Did you hire her?
No. This was an actual date. And I thought it went really awfully. And at the end, I kind of thought she knew how awful it went.
Yeah,
and
typically so, you assume.
Yeah, and so like, okay, that's the end of it. And then I run into a friend of mine about a month later. I was like, oh, yeah, she says things are going great with you guys. You got this whole thing going on, and she's really excited. And I'm like, I have not talked to her in a month and had no intention of talking to her ever again.
Was this before text messaging?
It was, yes.
So she would have probably like texted you like crazy.
Yeah, woman who is not going out with me has ever claimed to be going out with me. That doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know, but she was serious about it, and then I went to talk to her, just so you know, hey, you do know we're not actually dating, right? And we went out one time, and it took.
You sure you guys didn't make love?
No, I'm sure. I'm very sure.
Okay.
You sure she didn't like sneak into your place and did things to you?
Well, maybe. I drink a lot. It's possible I was passed out. But she just kept acting like, hey, so it'll come around at some point. You'll come around. I'm like, no, not going to happen. Very beautiful. It's just, it was really awkward having any kind of conversation with her.
That's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I actually, if I'm going to date somebody on a regular basis, I like to at least have
Tinder. If this was on Tinder, he would have just banged her and not talked to her again, right, John?
she sounds a little crazy.
No, yeah, isn't that kind of the move on Tinder? Like, if you're like, oh, she's dumb, you just go through with it anyway because there's no expectation.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I was uncomfortable the whole time.
Like, she was too dumb for you to have sex with?
Yeah.
Mm. I was thinking, I mean, if you got to see her at work, that's different. If it was someone you never had to see again, I feel like you could fight through her being a dummy.
You've got
high standards for intelligence of women you sleep with.
Not really. It's just it really made me uncomfortable because I frankly thought there might be something wrong with her.
Okay. Oh.
I mean, it wasn't that bad, but it made me really uncomfortable.
Okay.
Simple and Jack.
Not to that extent. No. I mean, but yes, I the thought crossed my mind.
Did you like talk to whoever the person is who hired her to work with you and be like, hey,
no,
how did this chick get here?
Well, I mean, it's a long story there about how I got set up with her.
I mean, we work with some dumb people here, but
yeah,
you know, we're a radio station,
but
of course there's dummies here.
A long time ago. I'm sure she's gone on to do great things.
Fred, I don't want you to miss the first Rockets home game of 2019. I've actually been really worried that you're going to miss it, and I don't want you to. They're hosting the Denver Nuggets in a Western Conference showdown, and it's Mix and Match Monday ticket promotion presented by Rocket. Purchase one all-inclusive ticket for as low as $20. You'll get one free bottle of beer, water, or soda, one free popcorn or hot dog, and one free red or black jersey t-shirt. Go to rockets.com to get your tickets today. And NBA All-Star Weekend 2019, it's coming up fast, and they need your help, Rockets fans. Houston Rockets All-Star voting presented by Ant Pool is now underway. I feel like James Harden probably deserving, so you may want to go to rockets.com to cast daily ballots for your Rockets All-Stars. Vote on your mobile phone with the NBA app or on NBA.com, or just Google search your favorite player and vote. It's that easy. It takes less than a minute to help Harden and the Rockets represent at the NBA All-Star game. For all info, visit rockets.com/all-star. That's rockets.com/all-star.
ESPN 97.5.